A pale and olive, and we're holding three lines on the bottom. He bought the Hubal Shemacher Karka the Paris. So he sold somebody else the rights in the Karka that he has to get the Paris. He sold to somebody else. You know, we've been discussing the woman's right to sell. Now we'll discuss the man's right to sell. So Mahu, what's the law? Mirminan, my dekani akni, whatever he owns, he has a right to the Paris. He can sell it to somebody else. Udilma, kitakita le rabbanon Paris the Baal, because our masakin the Baal gets the right to Paris. Mishum rabach beisa, that by having them in the house. In keeping them in the family, so that'll cause that the food's more available, items are more available in the house. So that's part of the purpose of the tekana, was that by keeping it within the family. Aval Zuni Loi, he was never given the power or the right to it if he's going to ship it outwards. So he doesn't own anything, he doesn't own it. In that sense, that he can sell it to somebody else. Okay. Yehuda, Mar Bar Maremar, Mishpe the Rabba Omar. So, Masha also. He did it, and it works. Rapapa Omar Mishpe the Rabba, but Rapapa says the Rabba did not say that it works, like Yehuda Mar said, but rather, Lo Yosibu Luklum. Okay. Omar Papa. Rapapa continues and says that what the person who disagreed with me, he didn't hear it directly from Rabba. He deduced it from a scenario, and his deduction was incorrect. Had Yehuda Mar Bar Maremar, La Beferish Itmar, El Bikol Itmar, wasn't that he heard directly from Rabba that Rabba said, like he's claiming, that the sale is valid, but rather he derived it from something. What was the story? Da'itza da'ayla le legavra tarti amhosa. Okay, woman got married, and she brought into the marriage two shvachas, and they were done as nithimavud, which means that the definition was of Nisim Luger or Nisit and Barzal was if they do a Shuma at the time of the Nisuan. Anything which they do a Shuma at the time of the Nisuan, they evaluate its value and they put upon the husband a commitment to that value, so that becomes Sun Barzal. She's guaranteed that amount. And the Baal gets the rights of Sun Barzal on it. But if they don't, anything which they don't do this evaluation, So if there's no evaluation, it's automatically Nisei Malug. So they didn't do any Shuma. So these two Shvachas were Nisei Malug. Okay. Okay, fine. Also, Gabra Nosib Itzachrit. Then the man married another wife. He brought in one. He took one shivcha of the two which he had this in Balug, and he had the rights to use all of their work. And he had committed that second shivcha, one of the shivachas, to take care of the second wife. So he had one shivcha taking care of the first wife, and one shivcha taking care of the second wife. So the first wife was not very happy that the shivcha she brought into the marriage was being used to serve the second wife. Okay? So soy the kamei derab, svacha b'le ashkak po. So the Rava. They went in front of Rava, and she was screaming, she was complaining, and the Rava did not ignored her, didn't feel there was any issue. So Mandachaza, the one who saw that, which is means Yehuda Bar-Maramer, saw this. Sabra Mishum the Sabra Masha also. It's not any less than if the husband had sold the usage of the Shifcha to a third party, he could do that. So he can take the usage of the Shifcha and give it to the second wife. It's basically the same thing. So you see that the Baal's rights are not just for the benefits of the house, for the woman, but he can sell it out. But Papa says, but Yehuda Amar Bar Maramer was wrong in his understanding. The whole reason why he can't sell it out, we argued before, is because it was given to him only for the purpose of increasing the benefits of the home. Well, this is part of the home now. Whether the woman likes it or not, there's a second wife there, and this is being used to take care of the needs of the second wife. So that's not equivalent of selling it out to a third party. You cannot derive from here with a third party, because a third party, you're taking away the benefits, giving it out of the house to somebody else. That you can't
money.
Do.
It's saving household money, basically.
Well, Rabbi Beisa would... go back a step. The case of Nitzim and Lug normally is that you have physical payers that you're eating. Over there's not a question of saving money. You would actually have... He has a right to her karka, so that she brings the karka. See, and it's brought in as Nitzim and Lug. So he wants to sell the payers to a third party, which means whatever the field produces will go to this other place. So the Morse says, no. The purpose of Nitzim and Lug was to have these items available in the home. So by a shifka, there's no. It's not a physical. The payers are not a physical benefit. It's the work. But she produces. She takes. She does. She produces, etc. So that's all part of the Rebbe base. It's not a question of saving money. So you actually, you know, he would. They gain all of her work. Okay. The hilchos of Baal Shemacher Bekarka the payers loy also will look for. Okay, the Morris says that the law is that the sale is not valid, like her papa said. And her papa said, like Rabbi said, the reason is because of her lach besa. But the Morris is my time up. Abai Omer, Hashin and Shema Tachsif. So we're afraid that the karka belongs to the woman still. Right? It's only the payers that belong to the Baal. But when the Baal is taking care of getting the payers, so because it's his wife, he's going to take care not to try and overuse the karka to get as many payers, because he wants to maintain the karka as well. But a third party who couldn't care less about the karka, just wants the payers, might overuse the field, and the result will be that he'll get all of these payers, but you'll damage the field. But Rabbi says that the reason why he can't sell it is because he needs to keep it in the family. The benefits and the benefits are brought into the marriage, that it should stay in the family.
I mean, according to Baal, you could solve that problem by contractual provisions.
Okay. Morris, is my benayo. Can we give, what's the difference between Baal's understanding and Rabba's understanding? Morris says, "Ike benayo ara the mekar of the muscle." A field which is near the city, so the husband can keep an eye on and prevent him from taking, you know, overusing the field in a way which would damage the field. Inami Baal Orisu, or you have a situation where the arrangement is that the Baal will be the one who will still work the field. He just gives him the payers after the... In other words, the husband is selling out the rights to the payers, but the husband will remain working for that person as the oris. So the husband's still going to be dealing with the field. And he'll just give the person he'll work as a sharecropper, so he'll give the person the produce, and he'll keep part for himself as a sharecropper. Inami Zuzi, If the issue over here wasn't a field, the issue over here was it was money, which was Nixay Malug. So the purpose is to do business with it. One second. Did I say that right? Rashi learns that the issue is if the purpose is Ravach Besa, so when he sells it and he takes the money, it's if the money is spent, it's used for household needs, it's going to be consumed and gone. Whereas the field or the item will produce ongoing payers. But if the purpose of the sale is that the husband should take the money that he gets from the sale and do business with it, so that's also going to produce Ravach Besa. So he basically exchanged one from a Ravach Besa for another one. But the karka is still potentially not being kept properly. So Rava would say that case is acceptable, and Abaye would say that case is still a problem. Okay. Rashi. Bottom Rashi on Peyam and Aleph. Shemachal karka l'peiris, shemachal akerim, karka malug, shiasa l'keach, v'yechal peiris. So he sold the rights to the field, that the person who purchases it will work the fields and get the benefit. So the Mora says thus, he has a right to see sold it, or maybe he only got the right because of Ravach Besa. Shiach is peiris l'besa, v'yemozen habayis motzi. So the woman brought this property into the marriage because this way it shall have more in the marriage. So Yehuda Mar Bar Meremer said that it works. Rav Papa said that which Yehuda Mar Bar Meremer said was lava ferishet lo shmo mi Rava behedya. He didn't hear it directly from Rava, he derived it. And he derived it incorrectly. Tati Amosa, Shvachas Malug Hayu, they were Shifke Malug. Veloy Shematim Le Biksubasa. And there was no Shuma, so it's not Nixit and Barzel. So he took a second wife, and Ayla Chadim Inayel, the Sharis Lashni, he took one of the two Shvachas to be the maid to take care of the second wife. So the first wife came to Rava and was complaining, and Rava ignored her complaint. So he thought, so whatever he did is valid. So if he can sell it, he can also give it to the second wife to serve the second wife. Rava says, well, that's an incorrect understanding. East of the Rabbah to Kanas Paris. Kanas Paris is because of Ravach Besa, which means if he will sell it away in a way that the household is not getting benefit from it on an ongoing basis, will not work. But over here, by giving it to serve the second wife, he is maintaining it in the house. So she's taking care of the needs of the home. Okay. So Baya says that they can't sell it because Shema Taksa Basada, it'll ruin the field. Shalat Yachush Alakeach Lezavla Ulataiva, the person who bought it will not be careful to fertilize it and to the taiva is also, I mean, make it, keep it nice, literally, but I mean, it's usually used to mean to form a fertilizing. The Kosovo Lamakra Nafkas Minoi. He thinks it might lose it tomorrow anyway. Shayna Gup Shali. I don't own the karka. I will bow the Baal Shizmona Shachs. I mean, there's three scenarios which how the things will play out. That he'll divorce his wife, he'll predecease his wife, or she'll predecease him. If he predeceases his wife, like, she got what he got while he was alive. If she predeceases him, he keeps the field. Right? Baal Mitzapa, Shem Tomei, he's hoping they won't get divorced. Shem Tomei, Si Bechayov, V'yirish has guva karka, Moshe Be'echlo. So the Baal's going to keep the karka nice because there's a good chance he'll end up keeping the karka period. Where it says the difference is Makarba Lamosa, the Chazit Le Kolshato Imaxaflun. So if it's close by, the Baal will see if the Oris, excuse me, if the Lakeat is dealing with the karka improperly, he'll try and intervene and stop that. So the arrangement is that the calf bought it, but the Baal is going to give him a share of the crops. And the Baal will maintain the karka. The Baal is taking the money which he received as payment for the field. Instead of consuming it, he's investing it. He's using it to do business and gets profit. So therefore, by selling it, he did not lose Ravach Besa. There's a new source of income. Okay. Okay. Zakti Mishnah. We had this Mishnah, or at least part of it, paralleled in the Sefer Yevamos. It wasn't easy there, and it ain't easy here. Okay. Shemes Yavim Shanafel of the Chosim. Okay, so, as Shemes Yavim, she's anticipating a situation of Yibum. Her husband died, and she's waiting for the brothers to do Yibum. And now the Chosim, she has a Yarish, which is. That dies and she it gets property. Somebody b'sham b'silah shemacheres when the sentence of a kayim. So she can take that property and sell it, even though there's some level of connection and commitment to the yavam. And when he does yibum, he will get her property. But meanwhile, she's not an arusa. She's just a sheres yavam. So she can go sell the property, give away the property, etc. Okay.
So now she has cash.
Well, no, actually, I would assume the chosim doesn't mean cash. I mean, if she sells it, she'll have cash, right?
So now she has that.
Right, she can basically consume it, do whatever she wants with it.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Mesa. So the woman dies. So ma yasub ksuvasa umenchasam and nichlasam yetsimima. So what happens to the ksuva? Ksuva means the ksuvasa over here means the nedunya. Anything which is written up in the ksuva is called the nedunya. That's in this is on Barzal. So anything which is written up in the ksuva. The property she brought into the marriage, the Baal got the rights and the chesed and baris on it, which means, like we had in Yevamos, that the Baal has ownership to the point by av they turn baris, they can eat truma. The Baal owns them, right? So the nichsei turn baris, the nichsei turn baris belong to the husband. So they belonged to her husband, and now they would go to the. The husband dies first, she dies second, but the husband really owned them because they're. So now. If she's waiting Yibum, when the Yavam does Yibum, so he will get all of the property of the brother which died. So he got the wife and he got the property, but now the woman died, so he's not getting. He's no longer a Yavam. and he's no longer and he's not getting the wife. So he doesn't get Yerusha mitzad that. He doesn't get the wife either. So what happens to the nechasa? And then there are the nechasa malug as well. So b'shamer armim yechalko yershe habal im yershe ha'av. So the Yershe Habal claim some rights to the property of the woman, and the Yershe Av, meaning her side, right, her Av, and then would be Yerusher. And if her, the Av is not alive, then his Yershim. So it's a suffix. Who is supposed to get what? The luck is they divide it. So that we leave the items within the state where there's whoever really has possession. So uksuba becheskes yershei habal. So the Tzarn Barzel, which they were brought into the marriage, they do a shuma on it. The Baal takes full responsibility for it. He has a right to sell them. He has a right to get all the benefits from them. He has a right to consume them. The only issue is when if they get divorced, he has a chiyuv to reimburse her. And we saw over there in Yevamos that certain properties she has a right to get back because of Shrach Beis Aviyah, like we had before recently, that idea. Right? So, but that's when they belong to the Baal. So that means they were Bechesis the Baal, so his Yarshim will get it. The Nixim Malug, Batsim belong to the woman. Right? The husband only has rights to get benefits from it. But they belong to the woman, so they belong to the woman. When she dies, they will go to her yershim, not to her husband's yershim.
If she had sold them, though, so and she had turned them into what I call cash, and she had turned them into money.
So that's right. That's her money.
It's her money.
Right, so let her go to her yershim. Okay. Hiniyak Ochiv Mos. So this is going back into a case where she didn't die, I think. So she's going up here. Okay, so he's going to do. He's going to do Yibum. So the brother who had the Nitzim Malug, the brother which died, had Nitzim Malug, and he died with leaving over money. Which means that he had money which he got from Nitzim Malug. So what does the Yavim do with that? Yichud ben Karka v'Echel Peres. So it's like the woman is bringing in Nixim Malug into the marriage. So a woman brings in money. So the Baal doesn't own the money. He just owns the rights to the Paris. So what do? You take the money and purchase something which can produce Paris. So you purchase Karka, the Karka produces Paris. So the same way that's true when the woman brings that into the first marriage. So now the husband had taken the Nisim Malug and produced money from it. Now you bring it into the second marriage. So that's like Paris, which are being brought into the marriage, which you buy karka with it, and the yava meets the Paris. Paris atushim min karka, yichal ben karka v'uachal Paris. It's the same thing. If there was Paris from the karka, so that's brought in, and now that becomes Karen. You have to exchange that into a Karen, which can produce Paris. You buy karka, and it produces Paris. Hamachubar lekarka. If the brother died when the Paris are mechubar lekarka, so what do you do? Some remeir shaman. We do a shuma on the kama hiyafa, the Paris. Rekabe because he loshen him hiyafa beloy Paris. So we evaluate the value of the karka. So Romero holds it, even though it's mechubar the karka, it's a din of, you have to deal with it as if it's a distinct item, since it's already fully grown. And therefore, we need to convert the peiris into karka. So how do you do that? So you evaluate the value of the karka without the peiris, the value of the karka with the peiris, and that difference between the two, the yavam, the husband, will take that and buy karka, and he'll get peiris. And the woman will own the karka. Most of you when karka will own peiris. Chomer and peiris and mechomer the karka shaloi. If the mechomer the karka they're his. Hatlushim min a karka kolakadim now, but. The Chumash say, "Tushim in a karka, kol akadim zocha behen." So they belong to the brother when the brother died. So they're his peiris. So they don't necessarily belong to the woman. That the yavam, when the yavam takes them, the yavam will have to consider them karen and convert them into a karen which produces peiris. So whoever gets them first gets them. So what does that mean? Kadam hu zocha kadmehi yechben karka v'echol peiris. If she takes possession of them, so they're hers, and then when she brings them into the yibum, into the marriage, so brings them into the marriage, so they're her karen. So the husband has to convert that into a karen, which produces peiris. But if the husband would take possession of them, they're his. Now what's her schus to them? You go back in the Tanakhama. Her schus to them is her husband died. She has a right to collect tzuva. So she has a right to her karka back, and what her karka is producing or produced, she's, as it were, taking possession, but the teres ksuva. Chum said, well, that's not right, because there's no din of collecting ksuva from midin of the Gemara, a woman collects ksuva from karka, not from a taltalit. So the peiris, which are, once they're detached, they're metaltalit. So she has no right, al tzehilchus ksuva, to collect the peiris. The husband detached the peiris b'chayel, he owns them. She doesn't have any yerusha on her husband. So she doesn't own the peiris as a yerush. She doesn't own the peiris through the right to collect her ksuva. Right? So they belong to the husband. So they go to the yerushim of the husband. So when the yavam does yibum, so they'll become his, but until then, they don't belong to her necessarily.
You mean the future peiris will become his, not those, because those are going to be rotten by then.
Peiris includes grain; it would be grain.
Oh, okay, right. But nevertheless, I mean, or whatever it could be deteriorated. I mean,
but the issue over here is the peiris, which the husband harvested. Bechayev, who has a right to them? What happens later on? That's it's a new marriage. So what he does Yibum, once he does the full Yibum, she's considered his wife, the you know, regards all halachas, but but the ksuba that he owes her is not extended to all of the Yavim's property. It's extended, the halacha is that when the brother does Yibum, he is Yarish, he becomes the sole Yarish of the Nifter. So if there are multiple brothers, the husband died without children, that's why there's Yibum. So there's no Yarish from that. The order of Yerusha is a child, or a child of a child, if the child is no longer alive, but they had children already, so the children of a children, boys were sons before daughters, and if there's any progeny of the sons, they go before daughters. There's no sons or daughters, it goes to the father. The father's not alive, it goes to the Nifter's brothers. Person does Yibum, he gets precedence before the father. Even the father, if the grand, in other words, the one brother is Nifter, the father is still alive, but the Yavim gets the Yerusha, and if the father's not alive, the Yerusha would go to be divided equally amongst all the brothers. Instead, the Yavim gets the whole Yerusha. So,
even ahead of children.
Well, there's no children because there's no Yibum unless there's no children.
Right.
So, and even if there was a child and then that child died, but if there were grandchildren, if there's any progeny at all, there's no din Yibum. So the Yerusha is either going to go to if the Nifter died, Bechai, and the life of his father's still alive, would go to the father normally, and if not, it would go to the brothers. So the Yavim gets all Yerusha. So now the husband takes in the Yavim takes in all of the property of the first husband. The ksuva that he takes over is the ksuva. She only gets the right to collect that ksuva if later on the Yavim dies or divorces her. She has the right to collect from the property of the first husband, but not it's not extended to the property of the Yavim of the second husband now. Okay. Let's hold it here. We'll pick up the rest of the mission tomorrow.
Does he have some form of obligation? I mean, this.